Good evening. This is the Public Works Advisory Board for December 6, 2023.
And it is a special meeting.
And this is a special meeting to review the local road safety plan. Shall we start with the Pledge Allegiance?
We need to do a quorum check first.
Okay.
And then for special meetings, we don't do the moment of silence and Pledge of Allegiance.
Cool.
So Board Member Ingrafia?
Yes, here.
Board Member Goldman?
Here.
Board Member Hill?
Present.
Board Member Nava?
Here.
Board Member Gaffney? Board Member Beal? And Vice Chair Irwin?
Here.
So we have a quorum with Gaffney and Chair Beal absent.
Are there any public comments which we want to...
Actually, I think we're going to hold public comment until after the presentation since there's just the one item. So.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and have our consultant do the presentation for the meeting and then do public comment and carry going from there. So
very good.
I'll go ahead and Eric Radio City Engineer, I just want to welcome you and thanks for being available for this special meeting. The reason we're meeting is this is our third community meeting related to the local roadway safety plan. Again, this is a partially grant-funded document that is necessary for us to look at roadway safety issues in our city and find ways to tackle those and also open up the opportunity for grant funding. This is a necessary document to be able to apply for major grant funding sources. So this is something that's been in the works for a couple of years. And we have our consultant, Kimley Horn, who is here to give a presentation on some of the findings from our first two meetings, as well as present some of the data that's been accumulated, and then also present some of the potential improvements that may be going into the draft, which we'll be looking at our PWAB meeting in January. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to Kyle McGowan with Kimley Horn, and then after that, we will have public comment and discussion. So.
Thanks, Eric. Let me make sure this is close enough. Can you all hear me?
I had one thing which I didn't see in there. This document is going to be used for grant applications. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
How do the grantors select? Do they get to look at the whole thing, or do we tell them which ones we want them to look at?
So this is just identifying projects for the grant funding. The grant applications will be completed at a later date in spring and summer of 2024.
So in order to submit a grant, at least it needs to show up on this report.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. All right, I'll get started. My name is Kyle McGowan. I am with Kimley Horn, the consultant for this project. Thank you, members of the PWAB and members of the public, for joining us tonight for this presentation. I just want to say before we begin that there are some copies of the presentation on the back table if anybody would like to grab one before we start. Let me make sure this is all right. So just going to, for the agenda tonight, just going to recap the project a bit, talk about some potential improvements, and then talk about next steps. So a recap of what we've done so far. Like Eric mentioned, we held two public workshops, one in September and one in November. We presented the findings of the crash analysis. We looked at the past 10 years of crash data for this project. So we really got a comprehensive view of what issues are happening in the city and where we see some hotspots. We solicited feedback in the presentations and with some interactive boards at these events. We also worked with a public agency advisory group, folks from Caltrans, folks from SLOCOG, folks from PD, and other public agencies in Morro Bay to develop the project concepts. And we also published an online mapping tool and survey. So we received 215 comments on the map. It just closed at the end of November, and we received 69 responses to the survey. We also set up a project-specific email address, and we received 8 project emails, and I think we actually received a few tonight. So really got a really great engagement with the public, and I got a lot of comments. So that really, we've taken that to heart in this in the potential improvements that we've developed here. So some major concerns that we saw from the public and through looking at the data, we've grouped them into 6 major concerns that really helped guide these potential improvements. First of which is speeding, also cut-through traffic, drivers ignoring signals and stop signs, lighting, pedestrians, and bicyclists. So these were really the main focus of our improvements, but the improvements that we're looking at today are not limited to these concerns. So when we were looking at potential project locations, we've narrowed it down to these locations here. These are just the sort of main improvement locations we're looking at. It's not limited to these, but these are the main corridors. So we looked at Morro Bay Boulevard, the Embarcadero, Quintana Road, Main Street and Quintana Road, Quintana Road and South Bay Boulevard, the South Bay Boulevard corridor, Main Street corridor, and we also looked at traffic calming on local and collector streets. So that's more of a systemic approach to traffic calming on some of these local streets. So looking at Morro Bay Boulevard, just really calling out the issues here, all of the fatal and severe injury collisions that we looked at involved bicyclists and pedestrians. So really looking at how we can improve the bicycle and pedestrian safety of this corridor. Major causes were automobile right-of-way violations, improper turning, and unsafe starting and backing. And a lot of crash types that we saw here were broadsides and rear ends at intersections, and more along roadway segments, some of the side swipes, cars side swiping each other. Some public comments that we received from the workshops and from the online tool. Some folks felt that the high visibility striping on the corridor is insufficient, and vehicle speeds and limited visibility from the Hillcrest at Morro Bay Boulevard and Kern Avenue. Some felt that it created a risk for pedestrian safety crossing Morro Bay Boulevard. And many folks said that many vehicles don't stop at the stop signs along Morro Bay Boulevard, and that was a concern for them. Particularly at Morro Bay Boulevard and Bernardo Avenue, there were some conflicts with bicyclists and pedestrians crossing Morro Bay Boulevard, and just a generally lack of visibility at that crosswalk. So these are some potential improvements. Again, I'm just going to reiterate that they're potential improvements. We're really looking for feedback from the PWAB and from members of the public on these improvements as we develop them for the plan. So first of which is curb extensions. They're also known as bulb outs at the intersections. And what these do is they narrow the intersection. They narrow the roadway, at the intersection and create less of a crossing distance for pedestrians and more visibility for pedestrians as they approach the intersection. Also, we look at high visibility crosswalks. There are some crosswalks in the city that have high visibility paint, but we look at a corridor-wide approach here. Installing speed feedback signage at additional locations, various locations along the corridor to let drivers know their speed and if they should slow down. Installing sharrows on the Morro Bay Boulevard corridor to let drivers know that they should be sharing the road with bicyclists if they're present. We also look at striping the Morro Bay Boulevard to narrow the travel lanes and delineate the parking throughout the corridor. Narrower travel lanes have been shown to slow down traffic as it's if there is speeding occurring. Also, one thing we could look at is pedestrian warning or yield signage at uncontrolled intersections, just to let folks know as they're approaching the intersection, they should yield to oncoming traffic. We could also look at what's called a rectangular rapid flashing beacon, or RRFB, at Morro Bay Boulevard and Morro Avenue, Bernardo Avenue, and Kern Avenue. And essentially what this would be, a treatment to give a more high profile crosswalk that could be activated by the pedestrian. It would have a flashing light and would let drivers on the corridor know that there were pedestrians crossing. Gives more visibility, as has been shown to improve safety for pedestrians crossing at uncontrolled locations. One thing that we look at as well is reducing the lane width at Morro Bay Boulevard and Kern Avenue westbound. Something that we looked at in the public comment and in the crash data is there were some issues with speeding here and cars overtaking each other as folks make that left turn of Kern Avenue on Morro Bay Boulevard westbound, making a left onto Kern Avenue. So just reconfiguring that intersection to make it a little bit more safe. And then also looking at the Morro Bay Boulevard and Harbor Street intersection, there is a free right turn there, which sort of encourage speeding and also are a little bit less safe for pedestrians. So one thing that we could do is either reduce that turning radius to make it a little bit safer or eliminate the free right turn altogether. And then we also just look through the general plan that the city's put together, and a landscape buffer of at least 2 feet between the sidewalk and the travel lanes was in there. And we feel that this should be included in this plan just to keep, you know, consistent with that and would protect some pedestrians along the corridor. So our next corridor we looked at was Embarcadero from Marina Street to Beach Street. Some issues we saw here, improper turning, which is essentially turning right or left when it's not safe to do so. Unsafe starting or backing, essentially pulling out when it's not safe to do so. Some major crash types that we saw were rear ends and side swipes, and delivery trucks causing some congestions during peak hour was some comments that we got from members of the Public Agency Advisory Group and also on our public engagement. Some other issues that came out here is visibility of crosswalks, parking availability, major traffic congestion during holiday weekends, which can be an issue for emergency vehicle access. Some public comments that we received at the public engagement and along the tool was heavy bike usage, so potentially looking at additional signage and striping for bikes, as well as cars. And folks in the safety mapping tool had some concerns with the safety of pedestrians, and those folks recommended some crosswalks, beacons, and striping. So those have really informed our improvements, potential improvements for this stretch of the Embarcadero. So first thing we're going to be looking at is high visibility crosswalk striping and those curb bulb outs at all of the intersections, potentially looking at those rectangular rapid flashing beacons or RRFBs, or some raised crosswalks at select intersections. So those really would give more visibility to pedestrians and potentially give more visibility to pedestrians. Some corridor-wide improvements that we'd be looking at is to lower the speed limits along the Embarcadero per California Assembly Bill 43. So California Assembly Bill 43 is a new law statewide that allows cities and municipalities to reduce speed limits beyond the standard 25 mile an hour speed limit based on different land use types or, you know, presence of pedestrians. So this would allow the city to reduce the speed limit on this stretch and also look at delivery time restrictions to potentially relieve some of the issues that we're having with delivery trucks on the Embarcadero. The next location we looked at was Quintana Road from Main Street to Morro Bay Boulevard. Some issues that we saw here, unsafe speed, wrong side of road crashes, a few DUI crashes, unfortunately, and a lot of automobile right-of-way violations. We also saw some broadside crashes and hit object crashes. Here, public comments that we, the main public comment that we got here was the visibility when turning out onto Quintana Road from the shopping centers was less than ideal. So it's something that we could do to really affect that. So potential improvements that we looked at along the corridor, potentially installing a median island with left turn pockets throughout the corridor that would address some of the head-on and hit object collisions that we were looking at, curve warning signage for the curve that is on Quintana Road, that speed feedback signage that would give drivers feedback if they were going too fast on the road, rumble strips, which would give an auditory signal to drivers if they were to drift off the roadway, and just potentially reducing lane widths, which again has been shown to reduce speeding along more straightaways like this. And also painted bicycle lanes along this corridor would be beneficial to bicyclists along the corridor. So another location we looked at was Main Street and Quintana Road. Some issues we saw here, unsafe speed and following too closely were major causes, as well as improper turning. Some major crash types that we saw were rear ends, hit objects, and broadsides, like it's a T-bone collision. We had two pedestrian crashes here and one bicycle crash. So really improving bicycle and pedestrian safety would be key here. So some improvements, potential improvements that we are going to be looking at here is retroreflective backplates on the signal heads. And essentially what that does is you'll see in the picture here, it gives more visibility to the signal heads, especially at night. We could also review a yellow and red signal timing to see if it's sufficient for the level of traffic that we're seeing here. We could also install high visibility crosswalks with leading pedestrian interval timing. And leading pedestrian interval timing essentially gives pedestrians who are using the crosswalk a 2 to 3 second head start before the green signal in the same direction goes, which gives a little bit more visibility to pedestrians if they were going to be using it. And that's only activated when there are pedestrians there, so it does has minimal effect on the signal timing. Some other potential improvements we could look at were bicycle connections. So as you can see up on the northwest corner of the intersection, there's a bicycle path that that stops at this intersection. So what we would propose potentially is some connections to that bicycle path. And so that would require a little bit of configuration change for this intersection, require a diagonal crossing to go from the northbound bicycle lane to that bicycle path. It would require an exclusive phase that would be a little bit more of an intensive treatment here. We'd also look at potentially putting a bike box, a bicycle box at this intersection to get bicyclists out in front of traffic so that they are more visible as they're going on this corridor. And additionally, green bicycle paint near conflict points to give drivers more visibility that there will potentially be bicyclists on this corridor. Other potential improvements. So the northbound right curve radius is a little large, which can potentially encourage some speeding as folks take that northbound right. We could potentially reduce the large curve radius to encourage lower speeds as folks are making that turn. Also, we could look at installing some advanced signal warning beacons and signage before the intersection, just to alert folks traveling on Main Street that there will be a signal coming up as they approach this intersection. So another location we looked at was Main Street from Highway 41 to Hill Street. Really what called us to this intersection was that the bicycle lane is a little bit space constrained, and that's something that we heard in the engagement and in the public comments. So some potential improvements, really, we could reorganize the lane widths on here to maybe balance out the northbound and southbound bicycle lanes to make the southbound bicycle lane a little bit less constrained up against that fence near Highway 1. We could also look at potentially installing a two-way cycle track. So both bicycle lanes in each direction would be along the same side of the road, or potentially putting a multi-use path, bicycle lane and sidewalk on the same side of the road on Main Street. Another location we looked at was Quintana Road and South Bay Boulevard. So this one really popped out in our crash analysis. Some major crash types that we saw here were broadsides and rear ends. Major crash causes, unsafe speed. So folks speeding, this is just off of the Highway 1. So folks still going quite fast coming off the freeway. And automobile right-of-way violations. So folks not yielding to the correct right-of-way as they're making their way through this intersection. Some public comments. This was a you know, there were a lot of public comments here on our engagement and on the survey tool that we looked at. Folks said there are many near misses here that they've experienced, visibility issues with a left turn coming from Quintana Road onto South Bay Boulevard northbound, and just generally, folks felt like there was poor visibility and high speeds at this intersection. So something that we could look at here would be to install a right turn pocket southbound that would help folks who are turning southbound right to get out of the lane of the southbound main lane. That would, you know, help to increase visibility and to reduce some of the rear ends that we saw at this intersection. Also, we could look at installing a left turn pocket on the northbound side so that there would be a left turn lane for folks turning northbound left onto Quintana Road. And again, that would reduce some of the rear end crashes that we saw here. Some other potential improvements: we could install advanced signage, retroreflective or flashing beacons, just to let folks know that there is a stop sign coming up. We could also install a flashing beacon over the intersection to let folks know, both on South Bay Boulevard and on Quintana Road, that there are some potential conflicting movements that will be occurring. We could also look at installing an all-way stop or a traffic signal. This would be more of a major change. We would need to review the traffic signal or all-way stop warrants for this intersection just to see if the volumes and crash history is appropriate. I believe the city did a study previously and it did not meet the warrants, but we would potentially look at that with the updated data that we have from this study. Another location we looked at just to the south of there, South Bay Boulevard from Quintana Road to the city limits. Major crash types we saw here: unsafe speed, DUI crashes, unfortunately, wrong side of the road crashes. Major crash causes were, you know, hit objects, overturned or head-on crashes here. Some public comments that we got at the engagement was folks felt that there was that the bike lane was quite narrow and that the tree and debris maintenance was needed. Rumble strips would be useful on this corridor, just to get folks to stay in their lanes. And some folks felt that crossing South Bay Boulevard at State Park Road was a little tricky, and some folks suggested a flashing crosswalk. And I just want to note here that SLOCOG, the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, did receive a climate adaptation grant for this corridor, just because it in the future is potentially looking at some sea level rise issues. So they're looking at this corridor on a more regional basis, so maybe some potential realignments. So we've kept that in mind in our potential improvements that we're looking at here. So some potential improvements, sort of an interim, smaller, short-term improvement would be to install rumble strips, or what we've called mumble strips. They are sort of less noisy strips that that let drivers know that if they're drifting out of their lane. Longer term improvements would be to widen the bicycle lane or install a multi-use path, which would include bicycle and pedestrian lanes. Something that we could also look into with State Parks engagement would be to close off Parkview Drive to vehicle traffic, which was closed during the pandemic. We could look into more of a permanent closure here. So in addition to those corridors, we also looked at some improvements on Main Street. A few intersections on Main Street that really popped out to us in terms of the crash analysis and the public engagement that we were looking at, first of which was Main Street and Radcliffe. So we got a lot of public comment here about concerns about visibility, about safety, and about accessibility of people making a left turn from Radcliffe onto Main Street. And folks felt that there was a lack of sidewalks along Main Street to the north of Radcliffe. So some potential improvements that we could look at is to complete that sidewalk gap from Radcliffe to the north. We could also review the intersection control. Again, this would require us to look at some warrants to see if the volumes of Radcliffe and Main Street are appropriate for either an all-way stop or a signal. We could also install signage or flashing beacons to alert drivers on Main Street of some potential conflicting movements. That would give a little bit more visibility to folks who are, you know, going up or down Main Street approaching this intersection. So next location we looked at was Main Street and San Jacinto. Some issues we saw here: folks saw a lot of stop sign running in the public comment. Major crash causes: automobile right-of-way violation, so folks not yielding to the correct right-of-way, improper turning. And some major crash types we saw were side swipes, broadsides, and rear ends. So really, this is a bit of a tricky intersection. There is, you know, the San Jacinto and Highway 1 intersection, and just to the east is Main Street, and then just to the east is Adler Avenue. We thought one potential improvement here would be to close off Adler Avenue to give a little bit more space between the intersections to reduce some of the rear ends, some of the broadside crashes that we saw at this location. Another location we looked at was Main Street and Yerba Buena Street. Really, this popped out on the public comment portion of this project. Many folks felt that drivers failed to stop at the stop signs here, and just some potential pedestrian safety concerns here as well. So at this location, we could potentially install a traffic diverter or elbow. If you look at the picture here, you'll kind of see what that looks like. Essentially, we would have Main Street northbound going towards Yerba Buena and Cabrillo Highway, and then Main Street southbound would make a what they call an elbow with Yerba Buena Street. So that would reduce some of the congestion, reduce some of the safety concerns for folks who are traveling northbound on Main Street trying to get onto Highway 1. So this would be more of a long-term, you know, larger scale improvement. But we could also look at installing a traffic signal or a stop sign at this intersection. And again, we'd have to review the warrants for appropriate volumes, appropriate crash histories, and the like. We also looked at Main Street and Dune Street. Some issues we saw here: improper turning and automobile right-of-way violations were our main two causes of crashes. A lot of broadside, so those T-bone crashes, side swipes, and rear-end crashes, pretty common that you'll see at intersections like this. Some public comments that we got: many folks felt that drivers failed to stop at the stop sign here, and there were some pedestrian safety concerns here as well. So one thing that we could do here is install high visibility crosswalks to give a little bit more visibility to pedestrians and let folks who are driving on Main Street and they don't have a stop sign here, alert them that when pedestrians are in the crosswalk, they do need to stop. We could also look at installing an all-way stop at this location. This location is the only intersection on Main Street that does not have a stop sign, I believe. And we'd have to look at that in terms of warrants for appropriate volumes and crash history as well. And we also looked at Main Street and Piney Way. Issues here, lack of visibility, especially for pedestrians around the curve, wide intersection with long crossing distance for pedestrian, potentially there's some issues there. And some folks felt that vegetation was impacting the line of sight for vehicles and vertical clearance for pedestrians here. So a few different things that we could look at here, first of which is to install a protected crosswalk. Like I mentioned, those RRFBs, rectangular rapid flashing beacon, that would be more of a visible crossing for this location. We could also change some of the striping to reduce the widths of the lane and reduce crossing distance for pedestrians. That would be more of a short-term fix, a little bit of a lower cost fix. We could also realign this intersection to reduce speeding, make the curve a little less smooth, to let folks, make folks pay attention a little bit more, or install speed signs along Main Street, just generally along Main Street in this area to let folks know that they should be adhering to the speed limit. And if they are traveling too fast, that they should be slowing down. So in addition to these corridors that we're looking at here, we also looked at traffic calming on local streets and some collector streets. And so really how we're focusing on this here is we're going to have a toolbox of strategies to apply to these local streets. And this will require some more local engagement with the city to make sure that folks along these who live along these streets are comfortable with these improvements. Toolbox of strategies that we looked at: speed signage, speed legend, pedestrian crossings or raised crosswalks, road diets or toning that would really reduce the width of the roads, which has been shown to reduce speeding. Another few other strategies that we have in our toolbox: mini roundabouts. So those are some sort of smaller roundabouts that you install at an all-way stop. Those have been shown to improve safety and reduce speed and reduce stop sign running at those intersections. Vertical deflections, such as speed bumps or speed humps. Horizontal deflections, such as chicanes or chokers, and what those do is they alter the path of the lane of travel, which has been shown to slow down road users and drivers and the like. And neighborhood access control, which would potentially close off some streets to some of the larger streets, some of the smaller streets to the larger streets, which would generally reduce some cut-through traffic in some of the neighborhoods. And so what we're going to look at in this plan is developing a process for responding to public concerns and implementing traffic calming devices. Again, these are some on local streets. There needs to be a little bit more engagement with folks as they are comfortable with these improvements on their streets. And just to note, for the traffic calming, stop signs, like I mentioned before, they should be warranted by reviewing those traffic warrants for appropriateness for for volume and for the number of crashes. And they're not generally affected for traffic calming. So that's just why we're not including those in our toolbox of strategies. So some potential traffic calming corridors that we looked at, and we really received a lot of good feedback at the public engagement locations and on our public tool. Ironwood Avenue, San Jacinto Avenue, Kern Avenue, Avalon Avenue, Piney Way, Sandalwood Avenue, and Greenwood Avenue. And those are some of the locations that we're going to be really focusing in on as we develop the plan further and look at some potential improvements here. And that will really set the city up for some good traffic calming improvements on these corridors. So I just want to talk next steps for this project. So what we're looking at going forward is to prioritize these projects based on public input, based on benefit cost ratios, based on city priorities and funding potential. One of the main focuses for this project, like Eric mentioned, is setting the city up for grants. So there's a lot of federal funding and state funding out there that we love to set the city up for. And that's really sort of one of our focuses for this project. Then we're going to develop the draft plan. We're going to get some public input at the January PWAB meeting. And then we're going to incorporate that input into the final plan, which we'll present to City Council in February. Just want to go back to the Morro Bay Boulevard location real quick before I jump off. So one comment that we did get on the public engagement and on the online tool and some letters that we've received for this meeting is about the Morro Bay and Quintana Bay Boulevard roundabout. Just want to let you know that this will be a location we're looking at in the LRSP in the draft. We're looking at improvements mainly focused on driver information, so making sure that drivers know which lane they need to be in when they're approaching the roundabout, and also just focusing on speed reduction, making sure that folks are approaching the roundabout at an appropriate speed. So just want to let everybody know that that will be in the draft LRSP as well. So go back. Yeah, and that's it for me. Thank you all for your time, and welcome any questions and discussion now.
Thanks, Kyle. So this is the time for any questions from the board. And
okay, well, do you want to start, Robert?
My list isn't that long, so yeah, thanks. Just curious, because I haven't gone down to find out myself, but does the city public works department have a stencil and striping equipment or crew or any availability to be able to do this on their own in piecemeal? Or is it the kind of effort that would require contracts where we have mobilization of a contractor?
Thank you for the question, board member Nava. The city crews do not have striping stencils, striping equipment to do this on their own. So I believe in the past they've done some refreshing of some of the crosswalks that have straight lines, that but anything that would require stencils or any other striping would have to be contracted out,
especially green paint or Shero logos. That sort of stuff would have to be contracted.
That's correct. The green paint is a very specialized product. It's a two-part product that requires some expertise in application.
So. My next question had to do with the idea of rumble strip on Quintana near the shopping area. Is rumble strip, does it have advantages or disadvantages related to the speed of the vehicles? I'm thinking cars are probably only going 15, 20 miles an hour through there, and I'm not sure that a rumble strip is applicable there. Maybe raised pavement markers or something a little less intensive, and rumble strips are not necessarily that friendly with bicycles, but that was something that I wanted to get a better feel for. Is there a speed for the vehicles that is targeted towards rumble strips?
Obviously as the speeds increase, rumble strips are increasing their effectivity, just because of, you know, faster they're going, the faster the noise will be. The louder the noise will be, excuse me. I think potentially some dots or some raised pavement markers would be appropriate here as well.
One more question. Pointed out that at our traffic signal there, Quintana and Main Street, we don't have the retroreflective backing at the signal heads. I was always under the impression that those were being installed around the county for power outages so that people could still see that there's a signalized intersection there at night if the power were to go out, and to behave accordingly. You're supposed to still use it as a four-way or three-way stop. So I was kind of surprised that we don't have those up yet, but I guess as a city, we're supposed to put those out there. I didn't realize it was a way to get people to see the signal as well as when they're not functioning. And my last comment is bike traffic on Main Street. It would be on the easterly side of Highway 1. On the westerly side of Highway 1, we have this great bike path. Is there any consideration given to putting more signage out there to get cyclists to use the bike path in lieu of trying to ride bikes down Main Street? Direct them at the intersections when possible to cross Highway 1. It seems like a safer route than trying to put bikes on a constricted roadway where we don't really have room to widen out. That was all the comments I had. Thanks for your time.
I have a couple of quick questions.
This is Doug Hill.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We have a project, and this might be a question for some of the council members are here. We have a project slated for Quintana and Main Street presently for ADA compliance issues and such. I would suggest that we hold off on that project until and fold this one in with it, because we might end up doing things twice. So I think that's a consideration. My other question is, who's going to pay and who's going to do the engineering estimates for all these various projects? Because we'll obviously have to be prioritizing these based on part of it is price, and who does that?
So that will be included as part of this project. We're going to be looking at high-level engineering costs and be including that in terms of the benefit-to-cost ratio, which will help us prioritize these projects.
Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Yeah.
Jen?
Yeah, I have a question about the Main Street in San Jacinto. You suggested closing off Adler Avenue because that would reduce the traffic. How does that... Where will people get who live on Adler? How do they? They'll have to go to a different intersection to get onto their street. But anyway, could you explain how that works? If you're closing Adler Avenue,
it's Alder, by the way. It's
Alder.
Not Adler,
yeah, that's right. What I thought, because it's a tree and it was spelled Adler. Alder Avenue. Closing off Alder Avenue. How will that prevent? You have that as the only area listed or the only suggestion for that intersection, so that would imply that you thought that was the best way to fix that intersection, right?
Yeah, looking at the crash history at Main Street and San Jacinto, a lot of those were crashes that were occurring actually at San Jacinto and Alder. So that's one location that's really how we developed that improvement.
Then have you considered maybe putting on the southbound side of Main Street coming approaching San Jacinto, putting in a right turn lane? Because people really back up on Main Street while they're waiting for the light to change so they can get on Highway 1.
You said a right turn there?
Yeah, a right turn lane as you're coming down Main Street.
Oh, I see.
Heading south.
Southbound.
And so that, because I think... From what I've seen people who are backed up line and then they pull out, and you said that that's one of the issues,
right?
That people pull out and try to drive around that and get through the people who want to go straight through the intersection.
Or yeah, absolutely. That's something we could look at.
And then I was also at Yerba Buena. There are a lot of pedestrians there all the time. this traffic diverter in the picture, is that like an island in the middle of the intersection that would force people to slow down to, like, it makes it, it turns it into a mini roundabout without pulling a roundabout? You know what I mean?
It's not necessarily a roundabout, because it's just where that would be, if that would be implemented, folks who are traveling on Main Street, would their only option would be to go and take a left onto Yerba Buena onto Highway 1. So they couldn't continue to go northbound on Main Street. So if you look at the photo that's there, folks who are going northbound, they can't continue on northbound. They have to make a left turn
and go onto the freeway.
Makes the intersection into two sort of elbows.
Oh, so I was just, okay. I was picturing, like, in that intersection, you just put some kind of a sculpture or something in the middle of that intersection.
Right, right.
Which would slow people down. They'd still be able to go in all the directions, but they just wouldn't be able to just, you know, rapidly cut, make the turn from Main Street to the freeway entrance, or come off the freeway and forget that there are people that might live up there, sort of.
Sure. And that would be more of what we call mini roundabout. And that's something we could look at as well.
Okay. That's all my questions.
Oh, can I ask one more question about that image? The image that's given in there for the install traffic diverter elbows, it looks like cars would be on the opposite side of the street. Is there a chance that maybe that image was mirrored? Making a left turn from the left lane.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yes, I think it might have been mirrored.
Okay, thanks.
I just have I have comments, of course, but just a couple of questions. I also had a question about Adler and what the consequences might be to people who live on that. And maybe the question is for Eric. With respect to altering the delivery times on the Embarcadero, which seems like a pretty commonsensical approach, has there been any assessment as to, you know, what the objections to that might be in terms of having the trucks come at a time when the traffic's not at peak level?
Thank you for the question. At this point, there's been no discussion with businesses or the Embarcadero leaseholders about altering times. I mean, it definitely have to be a process if that were entertained as a potential improvement for reducing congestion in the area.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's a pretty obvious partial solution. So I have a feeling that the negative consequences have probably been already totaled. The other question I have about the roundabout. Yeah, I remember at the Planning Commission when there was discussions about a roundabout at Main and 41, there were discussions about having any pedestrian crosswalks set further back from the actual roundabout for safety reasons, and because the cars in the roundabout are concentrating on other cars. And from my own personal experience, that pedestrian crosswalk at the existing roundabout, it's really a pretty dangerous pedestrian walkway because, again, the drivers tend not to notice the pedestrians until the last minute, particularly when they're halfway across the street. So I'm just wondering if perhaps there could be some way to engineer that roundabout to set the pedestrians further away from the core of the roundabout. That's it.
Thank you for the question. Yes, I think that's something we could look at as well.
I've got a few questions too. First one which pops up was the sidewalk replacement on Main Street north of Radcliffe. If I remember right, Eric, you've submitted a project for repairing that sidewalk, which was damaged during the storm. Is that right?
So... thanks for the question. As far as it being a sidewalk, it's not technically a sidewalk. It's more of a asphalt
path. I know
path, but there's portions of that are connected to the storm drains that have been submitted. But as far as it, in its entirety, you know, like many of the pavements that we've submitted, unless you can produce maintenance records that show active maintenance, which we do not have for that path.
You've done enough over the years that you could claim maintenance.
And before and after photos, because the path is in rough shape, and I think it was even before the storm. So
yeah,
but no, we didn't submit the path itself. There's other, you know, I think there's one of the inlets where one of the culverts collapsed. That's an active claim, as well as others on the main corridor.
Okay, the point I was going to make with that is FEMA has a process called alternate projects, where if you've got a project where you've got actual damages, which you're going to earn or you can get a grant for, you can combine that money with other projects, which sound a lot like these traffic safety projects we're talking about. So that would be another source of funding to handle some of this work. Okay, that was the FEMA. Next one. Has any thought been put to putting a sign up saying cross traffic does not stop on Dune at Main? Because yeah, I've seen those things work reasonably well, getting people to say, oops, I can't just blow through, or I can't stop and go. I've got to look at the right of way, because a lot of people don't know it's not a four-way stop. It's not that they blow through on purpose. It's they don't know. All I can say is about whenever I see a car on northbound Main Street and I'm leaving friends of mine over near, you know, I have friends we see regularly. If I see a car there, there's a 25% chance that car is going to blow through the stop sign at about 25 miles an hour and go onto the freeway. I mean, you just know they're going to ignore it. And that one, I'm not sure if any of your suggestions address the issue there, where it's almost willful ignoring the stop sign at that. And I've seen that happen a little bit in San Jacinto, but not like a Yerba Buena. Someone submitted a letter or a comment about putting a crosswalk maybe midway on Quintana between Kennedy and Morro Bay Boulevard, because what is it? That's like close to 1,500 feet. We might want to allow some sort of pedestrian crossings in between. The urgent care. Yeah. But it would be a reasonable place to put it. But, you know, you have that mobile home park there. So that would be a reasonable thing to consider. The Main and Quintana. Okay, you're heading northbound on Main, turning right onto Quintana. What is that, about a 40 or 50 foot radius on that return?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the dimension is, but are you talking the downslope?
Well, you were talking about making it a little bit sharper to slow cars down, and I like that idea, but I'm wondering what we actually have at that corner right now, because like you say, you can take that corner at 30 miles an hour and with no problems, which is dangerous enough.
Yeah, I'll just add to Board Member Hill's point about that intersection. We have yet to release the RFP for design on that, and part of that was because we wanted to see how the LRSP outcome would be, and those part of the project would address the curb ramps at the corners, because some of them are not ADA compliant, and that particular corner, if you were to be able to extend it out in the roadway, that would give you potentially more room to make it compliant, because right now it's where it sits, you would have to encroach on other property. So if you were to make that a tighter turn, potentially you could make the curb ramp ADA compliant. So those are things with the LRSP and some of the suggestions that came out of that integration of the bike path are all good points for looking at this intersection. The nexus of the project was looking at adding audible push buttons, but it's grown because we applied for other grants and hopefully with the LRSP we can get some other ideas to before we release the RFP for design.
And then the other question I had is where is there this last city speed survey we did? Were there any measurements taken on Quintana?
There were. I'd have to. I don't have it before me, but certainly anywhere there was posted speed limits, we have to verify with the speed survey. So, and I believe definitely there on Quintana where it approaches Maine, there's 25 mile per hour speed signs, and that was verified with the speed survey. So.
And I was thinking in front of Albertsons and Rite Aid, that area there, somehow I don't believe they're driving at 15 miles an hour there. It is a commute route from what I can tell. All right, so those were the questions I had. Yes, Jan.
Eric, this is for you. It seemed like last year or the year before that we were talking about, I think it was a grant for ADA to improve the pedestrian accessibility at Quintana Road and Main Street. Is that in the RFP that you said you haven't put out? Because we've talked about that for a while.
Yeah, that's correct. That's for intersection improvements in general, but a lot of the focus would be for the ADA improvements as well.
Was the focus on the side of the intersection that's next to Culligan, or was it on the side that's where that sewing machine shop is, that big corner?
So it would look at all four corners, including the development where it has the private drive there.
Uh-huh.
Currently, there's only one crosswalk across Maine on the north side. I think part of the scope would be to see if we could add crossing on the south side as well as how you integrate in the bicycle facilities to better get bicycles onto the bike path.
Okay. So if we were talking about it a couple of years ago, is that being incorporated into this plan now, or would they be separate plans? Separate projects?
So, yeah, thanks for the question. The LRSP is kind of an overarching focus on citywide, all the potential projects, and this would be just one of them. So, for instance, if we did go, this is a standalone project, the Quintana Main. If we released an RFP for design and we started design and say we, did our 30% design or came, and did an engineer cost estimate and found we were short funding, we could use this document, the LRSP, to pursue additional funding because it was identified as a potential and it had a accident history to show, and through the public outreach process, it was displayed to be an intersection that needed improvement. So.
Okay, thank you. And then just one curious question. You said at Dunes in Maine is the only place, the intersection on Main Street that doesn't have an stop sign. If you have to have the warrants to put the stop signs on other streets, how come that one, which is in the middle, didn't qualify with the warrants?
Thank you for the question. I'll just state that's the only four-way intersection in the downtown corridor that doesn't have an all-way stop. As far as why, I couldn't tell you, but that's that is one thing that's
I can offer what Rob Livick told me.
So
other stop signs on Morro Bay Boulevard and Main Street were put in before warrants were required.
So yeah, and because of the crosswalks, you know, and the incident history, it's certainly worth a look as far as if we did do a warrant analysis, would it be something that came, you know, it could potentially warrant an all-way stop there.
I don't think we have any more questions. Do you want to open it up to the public? Is there anyone who in the audience who has a question they want to present to the board?
Just if you could explain the stop sign board. Sorry. Very, very sorry about that. Good evening.
Good evening.
Staff. Good evening, staff. City Council. Here, thank you very much, and Morro Bay PD. My name's James Spencer. Live on Ironwood between Paula and Avalon, and been up there for over four decades, and the speeding issue continues. And that's, I appreciate this, what everybody's done. Workshop number two that was up at the community center, very well done. Very well done. Eric and Greg were rock stars. And the only sad part about that was the little turnout. This was a once in a lifetime opportunity to vent, and we appreciate it. And hopefully, I know the city has a lot on its plate. A decade ago, nobody knew what a battery storage plant was. You know, a decade and a half ago, we were dealing with the water treatment plant. But if we could do something on Ironwood, would deeply appreciate it. As far as the stop sign, that was one of my comments at Paula in Ironwood. That would slow these cars that are going excess of 25 miles an hour. It's a residential neighborhood. That would at least slow them down a little bit to where they're not, you know, doing 30 or 35 in the middle of Ironwood. And I'm not exaggerating. And why I know, Tom, my next door neighbor, will verify, I used a speed gun out there, and that was after the speed with the speed survey back in December, in January, and I called foul on that. That document was almost just short of 300 pages. Well, I picked through that document, and when I saw the data for Ironwood, that's when the hair on the back of my neck went up and my blood pressure, and that's basically why I'm here. I called foul. You know, 4 hours of a speed survey on Ironwood in the middle of the wintertime was baloney. So anyway, thanks for hearing me out. I appreciate it. You guys are doing a great job. The presentation at the workshop was awesome. And I should have scribbled on the board a lot more, but thank you very much. Thanks for hearing me out.
Eric, do you want to go through the warrant stop sign warrant process so everybody knows what we have to play with?
I haven't actually done it myself, so but it does involve looking at volumes and incident history. I know that for sure, and it should be looked at by a licensed traffic engineer.
Kyle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So there's some guidance that's been put out by the MUTCD, which is generally just the engineering guidance nationwide for stop signs and traffic signals. There are some warrants that we can look at. That will generally warrant these stop signs, looking at volume, so making sure that the cross traffic is not sort of balanced in one road versus the other. Also looking at number of crashes in, I believe it's the 5-year history that can be sort of reduced by the stop sign. So there's a number of different things that we can look at, and like Eric mentioned, it should be looked at by a licensed traffic engineer, which we have a number of on our staff. And so we'll be looking at some of these locations for the stop sign warrant.
Is it possible to put a stop sign without the warrant?
It's generally not advised to, but it is up to engineering judgment. So it is left to the judgment of a traffic engineer.
Thank you. Is there anyone? Okay.
Good evening. My name is Peggy Mandeville, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. Thank you for having this meeting tonight. I have four questions. One, will the document note that city documents such as the bicycle and transportation plan, the circulation element were reviewed as part of this? I think that would be helpful just to, and then projects in, for instance, the bike plan, there are some safety projects that those were identified. Okay. And then noting projects that are, or issues that have been raised that are in the Caltrans right of way, if those could be noted in the document, those could be referred to Caltrans. My question is, will the document include either a section or an appendix that includes all the comments that were provided? That would be very helpful for city reference in the future, as well as potential other grant applications. And then will the cost estimates include a line item breakdown so the city can use that information in the future to kind of infer, okay, this is generally what something costs with a cost escalator? Thank you.
I guess I can speak. I think answer to all your questions is yes, except for the last one. We're going to be looking at maintenance and operations costs over the you know, lifespan of the improvement, 10 to 20 years. And that's going to be helpful for the grant applications. And in the grant applications, we do have to look at that more line item cost. So the grant applications that we will be preparing as part of this project will include that as well. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Helene Finger, and I own a home on Yerba Buena. I'm also a registered professional civil engineer and excited that Morro Bay is working on developing this roadway safety plan. I commend you for the work. I think that there's been great comments and public feedback that really is helping to make this even better. I encourage you to be a bit aspirational with this plan. A couple things that I would like to see expanded on. One of the advisory board members mentioned was connecting to the bike network. I would like to see a little more attention given to that. On Yerba Buena in particular, there are a lot of bike and pedestrian people that are heading across. That's like one of the few ways you can cross. And when I was looking at the drawings, I saw something accommodating the pedestrians, but not necessarily the cyclists. And as many of you are, maybe all of you are aware, there is going to be a connector that's going from Yerba Buena up to Cayucas. And so this will also be a place where you'll be getting some people joining on bicycles to head north. And so I encourage you to look into including that in this plan a little bit as well. And then the last thing I want to say is that there's also some pretty significant development that is being proposed and in the near future will be built in the periphery of the Yerba Buena area. One of the projects that they're going to be constructing probably sooner rather than later is off of Tahiti and Panorama, the former oil property. And so some consideration going into the opportunity for the developer to be funding some of these improvements. So again, being aspirational a little bit about if that development is going in, what is the traffic flow going to look like? And, you know, likely you're going to want that traffic to be running along Main Street. So maybe you want to be considering, do you want Panorama to then be like a bike boulevard so that the bike and motor vehicle traffic is separated? So those are my comments. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening. My name is Diane Etchison. I live on Ironwood in Morro Bay. I'd just like to ask the learned gentleman a question. When you looked at all of these areas that you're thinking of, or we're thinking of doing improvements on, and finding the improper turning, or the rear end crashes. Did you look at any information from Ironwood?
Yes, we did. I don't remember off the top of my head exactly what the crash profile looked like there, but I believe that was speeding was a big factor there.
And were there a lot of tickets given? Is that how that?
We don't have that the tickets in our data. It's only crashes that are responded to by Morro Bay PD.
Because there are never any tickets given up there. That's why you didn't find any. So yeah. I would like to see more policemen up there. The speeding issue is awful. If that can't be done, then maybe bumps, speed bumps or something. Also, the stop signs at Ironwood and Avalon are a suggestion to the upper tree streets. They never stop. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. I just want to mention that enforcement will also be part of this plan as well. Any areas where we can increase enforcement or change up enforcement. So not just, you know, the engineering improvements that we're looking at today, but also enforcement and education and coordination with emergency services will also be part of this plan. So we'll be included that. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to speak?
Exactly, cricket, but I don't know when else I will get to talk. So I'm Laurel Barton from the City Council, and I wanted to thank the consultants for looking at taking Morro Bay Boulevard issues seriously. I am frequently out there maintaining a flower box with Morro Bay in bloom, and I can hear every day when I'm out there, I can hear people running the stop sign on Morro Bay Boulevard. And one of these days, it's not going to be just a simple thing of shooting through there. They'll take somebody with them. So I was pleased that that was taken up. And adding the bulb outs and the high visibility crosswalks also, I thought that was very important. And I do have one question for you. There's a spot here where it speaks about a landscape buffer of at least 2 feet between the sidewalk and the travel lanes. And apparently as per general plan, and then that idea is throughout the length of Morro Bay Boulevard. And I don't know if that if the planter boxes fill that same function, because if you take the flower boxes out, then not so great. So I think so too. And it would be a more of a blocky thing if for some reason a car did get off track, it would hit a big planter before it would hit anything else. So anyway, I wanted to thank you all for taking all the input and taking it so seriously. We have many issues here and there all over town, but my particular favorite is Morro Bay Boulevard. So thanks.
Thank you. Do I have anybody online who has raised their hand?
Hi, Board Chairman Irwin. So there's two people on Zoom at the moment, but no raised hands.
Okay, thank you. Are we ready to, let's see, what do we want to do?
So yeah, you can close public comment and then move to board discussion.
Okay, and since there's no more further comment from the public, I say we close public comment and the board can comment on what they see here now. John?
Yeah, I have a few comments. I can only, really speak to things that I've had some personal experience as a resident here in Morro Bay. And so I live in some proximity to Morro Bay Boulevard and Bernardo. So with respect to Morro Bay Boulevard, it's my impression that at the corners, the parking spaces on the corners are very often occupied by large vehicles, vans. And what happens is that a pedestrian on the corner intending to cross Morro Bay Boulevard is obscured by the parked vehicle, and drivers typically moving east cannot see, So I wonder if it would be possible to actually eliminate on certain of those blocks, the parking spaces space closest to the corner in a way to increase visibility. Because typically now you might have to walk into the street and peek around the parked van to make sure that those cars coming in, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one suggestion. With respect to the intersection at Quintana and South Bay Boulevard, I would applaud any and all of your suggestions, because that really is a difficult intersection with people coming off the highway and speeding. And in particular, I find people on South Bay Boulevard approaching Highway 1, the intersection with Quintana is a little bit of a surprise, particularly if you're intending to turn left on it. You don't always recognize the intersection as readily as you should. And so flashing lights, anything to alert that the intersection is coming up. With respect to the Parkview Drive and the closure of that, I frankly could never understand why that winding road through ultimately the golf course becomes an alternative way to get into the more dense areas of Morro Bay. So I would strongly encourage that. The Radcliffe area, again, cars making a left-hand turn onto Main Street from Radcliffe, you know, very precarious. Anything that could make that safer. I've mentioned again I would mention again the pedestrian walkway at the existing roundabout really needs to be re-engineered and put further away so that people can devote their attention to pedestrians once they've gotten through that. I would also vouch for the comment about the upcoming panorama development, and that additional community benefits will very definitely be an element of the approval of that project. And I have a feeling that a priority will probably or should be given to traffic and pedestrians and traffic safety and pedestrian safety. I think those are my, with respect to Holder, again, to sort of delve into what the consequence, it's a good idea, but to delve into the consequences of what it might be for the people on those streets so that we don't burden them too much by that. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I had a couple of comments to sort of piggyback on something that Board Member Engrafia said. It's also a problem, not with vehicles necessarily, crossing walks, but the bulb outs that we're proposing. We have to make sure that we're not putting trees or plants that are going to block the view of cars seeing pedestrians, because your first step off the curb in that instance is into traffic. So there's no buffer there. So they can be a problem if they're blocked. And if they're a large planter, that can be a problem too for a small child or something like that. On a completely unrelated matter, we received a letter from the master leaseholders. I'm not sure if it fits in with this meeting. They're concerned about the traffic on holiday weekends on the Embarcadero and the backups. And I'm not sure that anything relating to safety, in this traffic plan, and one of their proposals was to open the pedestrian bridge across the Morro Creek. I think that's maybe a possibility if we talk to, have a discussion with the leaseholders about what they would be. I think it would require police and extra police time to facilitate something like that. So I'd like to, keep that in sort of on the table, but it may not be something that this board can deal with. So that's it.
I've already aired my concerns with some of the options, but I really appreciate all the options and ideas that were made available for us to consider, as well as potential grant opportunities for us. I would caution that any new construction or new added features, elements that we put out there, we like to consider the maintenance aspects of those as well. What's the city going to be able to maintain and afford to maintain over the long haul? So hardscape items, those don't require a lot of maintenance, but things like traffic stripe, those do lose their reflectivity. They lose their impact. Signs get knocked down and have to get stood back up. So let's keep maintenance in mind as far as a lot of that goes. Thanks again for the awesome report. You guys put together a really good package.
And I had basically two comments. One's facetious, is I read a book on traffic design 8-10 years called Traffic. And one of the items in that book was a description of how in a Dutch village they had put a living room furniture on the side of the road, and it basically ended all the speeding problems they had on that road. It appeals to my sense of irony, I guess. And then the other thing is, I had meant to bring this up earlier. Has there been any thought about realigning the left turn, the intersection of Radcliffe and Main Street? From what I understand, because of how that overpass is built, it severely restricts left, your traffic, sight distances there. And moving it onto the other side of the PG&E little site there might provide enough space that people can actually see who's coming and judge whether they can make a left turn or not better. But that might be something which deserves some thought. But it's just, I know that intersection, I don't like to make the left turn there when I visit people either. So that's the last thing I have. Is there anything else you want from us, Eric?
No, there's no formal recommendation or anything. It's just strictly receiving comment and feedback so that we can incorporate it into the draft LRSP. So we have some good notes to bring to our analysis and add as we put together the draft LRSP.
So when does what's the next step? You're going to do a draft report. Is that the next step? Is there any schedule for that yet?
Yeah, right now we're scheduled for the PWAB meeting in January, which would be the third Wednesday of the next regular meeting. So that's what we're aiming for right now. We'd like to have a final in February. We've got a little bit of a time crunch just with the Caltrans grant. Is we need to have the plan to Caltrans by March. So
okay.
It would give us a little bit of a buffer if we had it done in February. So
okay, thank you. So there's anything else? I guess we won't have a regular meeting in December, and our next will be in January. Is that correct?
That's correct. I think the next regular meeting will be Wednesday, January 17th, 5:30 p.m. here. So with that, you can adjourn when okay. You're ready.
So I now move to adjourn the meeting then. Anything else? Okay.
Second.